Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
From the Chronicle Telegram, and you can read all of his work at brownszone.com. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Scotty.
What's going on, guys?
So I'm on, and Dan, I don't mean this for a ding. I was on a show last night with a guy named Jordy Mack who does a lot of stuff nationally. Ding. And he mainly ding. Wanted to talk Cavs, but he said, hey, I've got you here, I got to bug you about the Browns a little bit. And I said, you know, everybody does, right? And so we talked quarterback and everything else. And then he said, if the season's starting today, who's your starting quarterback? I said Kenny Pickett, and his jaw, I heard it hit the desk. And he said, Kenny Pickett, are you serious? And I said, yeah. And he thought it was Flacco all the way. All I know is, man, it's going to be fun to see who ends up starting as a quarterback on this team. But I was surprised that he was stunned that I thought Pickett might be the guy. What do you think?
I think it's interesting, Jeff. I think the perception is different if you're maybe in Cleveland around the team versus at a national level, just because I think the way Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry have talked up Kenny Pickett since they got him in March, maybe got ignored or just wasn't on the radar of people outside, you know, the Browns circle. So I take those comments as, hey, they want to see if he can become the starter and look like the guy that was a first-round pick of the Steelers a few years ago and kind of unlock him and see if they can maximize his talents and his potential. So I think outside of the area, people just look at, okay, this is a guy that flamed out in Pittsburgh and then was a backup in Philly, so why would he be the starter? We know what Joe Flacco's resume is. But the Browns view Kenny Pickett as having a higher upside than Joe Flacco because Flacco's 40 years old. So I agree that Pickett would be my pick right now. I understand why he's overlooked by a lot, but I also think you talk about this being a fun or interesting quarterback competition, and I could also see a scenario where Kenny Pickett's not on this team September 1st. So I think it's going to be a really volatile competition where pretty much anything could happen.
Could you see a scenario where the starting quarterback for the next season, 2026, is still playing in college this year too, especially with four guys here right now? I still think they've got an ace sitting underneath the deck here for themselves knowing that they've got two first round picks next year.
Yeah, I could totally see that scenario, Andy. You know, it would be easier for this organization and better for this organization if Pickett, Gabriel, or Sanders look like he would be the guy coming out of 2025. Then you don't have to use your first round pick or picks to get a quarterback. You don't have to go through all the things that they went through this offseason. You know, if you had your quarterback and you had whatever, two picks in the top 20 or whatever they were, those could become really valuable in a number of ways. But yeah, if you don't see Kenny Pickett emerge and you don't see either of the rookies look like, okay, this is definitely going to be the guy, then I don't even know it's plan B. Maybe it's plan AA is, yeah, they're positioned, at least right now, to have enough to go get the long-term answer in the 2026 draft.
Scott, I hadn't thought of this before, and I don't think this is anything. You would assume one of these four guys is the starting quarterback this year, right? There's nobody else who could get into this picture?
I don't think so. You know, I mean, Kirk Cousins is, you know, still, I guess, available. I think he's the fallback in Pittsburgh if Aaron Rodgers doesn't wind up signing there. Yeah, I think the Browns know who they're going to have, and those are the four guys.
All right. I'm perplexed by the quarterback situation. I think we all are. But I'm also still wondering what this wide receiver room is going to look like. And you know, are they done? Are they going to have to go out and pick up somebody else? Are we going to be waiting to see if somebody, you know, dumps another wide receiver towards the end of training camp? Just give me your take on the wide receivers right now.
I don't think they can be done. Whether that's somebody, one of the undrafted guys that will be at rookie minicamp this weekend flashes and, okay, maybe he can be, you know, a fourth or fifth guy. Or it's a veteran that's out there. If there's a trade scenario that Andrew Berry has in the back of his mind that he wants to pursue, if it's wait until cuts in September, whatever it is, I don't think the week one receiver rotation is going to be, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, Deontay Johnson, Jamari Thrash, and David Bell. It feels like that really needs a significant upgrade to me. You know, I know that they signed Deontay Johnson today. We knew that deal was coming. But there's question marks about him. You know, I mean, he had a terrible year last year on and off the field when we talk about, you know, he got suspended for a game by the Ravens because he refused to go in. And he got traded twice and then cut. So I don't think you can just say, okay, yeah, he's going to be back to the Pro Bowl who he was, whatever, 3-4 years ago. So there's tons of question marks at that position, and I think they need to add one or two more guys.
Are you hearing anything about Cedric Tillman?
Well, I mean, I assume he's, you know, I think we asked Kevin Stefanski at the Combine, you know, and he's out of protocol and all those things. So I assume he's going to be healthy. You know, he's an interesting one because when he had that two or three game stretch, right when Jameis Winston took over, he thought, okay, you know, this is what they wanted him to be. And he's a big body target. And you saw flashes when he was a rookie in 2023.
Yeah.
And he's okay, you know, there's something here, but it just hasn't been sustainable. And last year that was because he had the concussion that knocked him out for the last, whatever it was, 6 or 7 weeks. So he wasn't able to build off that. So I do think there's reasons to be excited about Cedric Tillman, but not where you say, like, he's not a proven commodity. He's far from that right now. And there's just too many of those at the receiving corps. You have Jerry Jeudy, who we think we know because first-round pick, Biletnikoff winner. You saw all that potential. The Browns saw all that talent, and it was realized last year. So I think you can say, okay, he's a legitimate guy, whether he's a one or two, whatever. But after that, like you talked about, you just don't know. And it's got to be pretty worrisome. You know, I think if you're the coaching staff and trying to put together this offense, okay, we're going to be able to, you'd think, okay, they're going to be able to run the ball. They can throw to their tight ends. But you need some presence on the outside.
I would still try and bring in two or three of these veteran free agents who are still sitting out there for whatever reason. I'm stunned that they didn't bring in somebody before the draft and sign. Anyhow, I still think they need wide receivers. With that thought in mind, and I've mentioned this guy a couple of times, Isaiah Bond from Texas, had big issue come up, you know, legal issue before the draft. The Browns have dealt with Deshaun Watson, dealt with Michael Hall. Now Devin Bush has a situation that he was arrested over the weekend. Do the Browns shy away from guys because of this? You know, I mean, if you need a wide receiver, there's Bond sitting there who was pretty highly thought of. Or you know, where do they draw the line when it comes to some of these off-the-field issues?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jeff. I think as an organization, you probably need to be more careful bringing in somebody that has known issues. And obviously, they said whatever. They didn't care and went and got Deshaun Watson, right? They did their what they said was their research and due diligence. But when you add a guy with those kind of problems, it's different. I think it's a lot different than if that guy's already in your building and something crops up. And I think to take that on with a rookie, and I get it, there's not a lot of risk here because he's, you know, an undrafted guy. You sign him, you know, if you have to cut him in a week, all it is a PR situation. But for him to not be drafted and then not be signed right away, like, there have to be giant red flags about this guy because he's an NFL caliber player.
He sure is.
And you're right. There's not guys that run 4.3 or whatever he ran, right? So that would scare me. I would never rule anything out with the Browns because they've shown the willingness to give second chances and to take chances on guys. You know, we saw what happened with Michael Hall Jr. last year, and they stuck with him and, you know, let him come back, serve the suspension, then play. You know, and I think there might have been some, you know, and he had some issues before the draft too, and they took a chance on him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's an individual basis, and maybe their, you know, maybe their research into Bond is, yeah, we're not gonna touch this guy.
What do you think's going on with, where do you think we are with JOK right now? I know we talked about it initially with the draft when they decided to select Carson Schwessinger from UCLA. Yeah. I was kind of hopeful that right before the draft that we talked about, you know, hey, he's in the facility. Like, if you're approaching the season, what are your thoughts with JOK? And do we have any thoughts, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know, and the team continues to say that they don't have a timetable and there's nothing definitive there, and they haven't ruled him out. I think if you just look at the moves they made, it gives you the sense that JOK is not going to play this year. They've certainly prepared from a roster move standpoint for him not to play, and there's no bigger sign than that than Schwessinger. I mean, they're similar players. Not that they couldn't play together, but I think if you know JOK is going to play in 2025, that would be one. I don't think they make that move. And Andrew Berry said that's not true, but I'm not sure I believe him, right? I think if you have your stud linebacker and you don't value linebacker that much, are you taking one at 33? I got a hard time believing they do. So, you know, and then it's on top of they re-signed Devin Bush and they brought in Jerome Baker. That's three moves at linebacker when you already had Jordan Hicks and you got a couple young guys and, you know, Bookie Watson and Winston Reed and Mahmoud Diabaty, that I don't know if they make three additions at that position if there's any comfort level or confidence level that JOK is going to play.
Rookies show up this week. Practice, getting right going, yeah. How vital is this? And who might this week be more vital for, Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders?
Well, I think I'm looking at everything through the Sanders glasses, so I'm going to say Sanders because I think he has a chance to immediately close that gap. And I would say there is a gap because they had Gabriel ranked higher.
50 spots higher. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So they obviously liked him better. And, you know, part of that could be everything that comes with Shedeur Sanders. Maybe it's not a pure talent thing, but they took Gabriel first. I would assume that he's going to get the first reps at quarterback in rookie minicamp. So I think it's the chance for Shedeur Sanders to close that gap as quick as he can and stand next to him and look bigger and maybe throw it better. I mean, Gabriel's got a pretty good arm, and it's going to be interesting to see who live throws it better because I don't know if we know that for sure. But I do think Sanders has that chance right away to close the gap on the field, but also off it. And, you know, Andrew Berry talked about, hey, you got to come in and prove everything to us, and nothing's going to be given to you. So if Sanders comes in with the right attitude and maybe that right mixture of humility and motivation, I think he can make a really strong first impression at rookie minicamp.
Scott, thank you, buddy. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thanks, Holes.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, BrownZone.com. You can read all of Scott's work, and he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Andy Baskin, Dan Menigan, Meredith Kane. We're all bringing you the fun. We just had Scott Petrak on the show. And I asked Scott about rookie camp this weekend. It starts coming in. The rookies are going to be on the field. They're going to be practicing football. But there's a competition that's already starting here. And it's between Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. And I'm sorry, you drafted two rookies. You need to find out sooner rather than later which one might be the better guy to maybe perhaps get on the field this year. Scott Petrak talked about some things a few moments ago, and he said he thinks it's a bigger thing for Sanders this week, where Sanders can maybe eliminate a little bit of that distance. And clearly there's distance. Gabriel was a third-round pick. Sanders was a fifth, 50 picks apart. But the minute they get on the football field, I would think you can erase that. And then all of a sudden it's game on.
I agree. I saw like one of the most clever ads that I've ever seen coming into town. Did you happen to catch this ad? It's for a shaving company. And it said first round quality, fifth round
price tag
pricing. Yeah. And I was like, wow. And it was orange and brown too. It was really well done. And I'm like, this is interesting.
Sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Well, no. Why is there anything wrong with that? There's no lawsuit there. Why would there be a lawsuit? It's just a great line.
If I'm somebody,
first round quality, fifth round pricing, or something like that. I thought it was. I totally caught my eye.
Might not be accurate, but hey, what the heck?
Well, we'll find out, won't
we?
And I think that's what this thing's all about. Boy, this is going to be super.
Super-dy duper.
I'm trying to think of the right word. That's why I don't want to use any trite words. But you can't tell me we're not going to keep our eye on every pass from every time we have the opportunity to see these guys to see who's going to end up being number one. I think one of the things that you said 2 weeks ago that kind of caught my ear is that if Joe Flacco is the starting quarterback week one next year, we're in trouble. Something's not right. Yeah, and
it means you drafted two guys who A, aren't ready to play, or B, may never be ready to play, and Kenny Pickett's not the guy.
I don't really want to throw a guy out there, though, a rookie, if he's not ready. That's the other problem.
I agree with you completely on that.
So if he's, because we watched that with DTR, and I don't want to see that again.
Although, Dylan Gabriel played 6 years of college football. If you're not ready after 6 years of college football, when are you going to be ready?
I don't know. Ready which way, though? Ready to be able to understand the playbook or ready to be able to handle the speed of the NFL game? I don't care if he played 100 years in college. It's still going to be way faster when he gets out there in the pros. And, you know, there are games in college, too, that are not, I don't want to say cakewalk, but at a much different level than any, even when you play the worst team in the NFL.
I think you said cakewalk.
No, I didn't say cakewalk.
I think you did.
Checking.
No?
Why is cakewalk a cakewalk anyway?
Yeah,
ever think about that?
I don't know.
A cakewalk sounds good to me. I enjoy cake.
That's why it always cracks me up when you hear, especially in football, somebody gets loose. Oh, it's a foot race. Who the heck says foot race anywhere but some dude calling a football game?
Hey, I don't know,
Andy,
where else you would say
let's
that.
Let's go out and have a foot race, shall we?
That sounds good. Bully. Bully, let's go. There are some trite sayings out there.
Yeah, there are. I would think that Dylan Gabriel has the opportunity to go out and just distance himself from Shedeur Sanders this weekend. Forget Sanders.
What if it's the other way around, though?
Well, it could be.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, I don't care. Somebody go out and look good, please. Could somebody please go out and look good?
But then again, you also have to remember.
Or both of them. That'd be awesome.
Who are they throwing to? Jordan Townsend from Delaware? Clavon Thomas from Montana State? Tyrese Chambers from Maryland? I'm just giving you some of the guys they'll be throwing to.
The nice thing is, while those guys are in town, they can go ahead and interview with some of the other fine companies, some of the medical companies we have in town, the insurance companies. That could be really good for them.
That's hurtful.
We've got a great paint company in town that probably has some opportunities for young graduates. That's really good.
Armani Marshall from Appalachian State, the running back. You got some other guys in here on top of the guys that they brought in, but these are the wide receivers. Like, if I was an undrafted wide receiver, I think I might have a chance.
It's going to be a big construction project going on out by the airport. Maybe they could hook me in. Maybe they have some engineering background.
Hurtful.
You are harsh, man.
That's really
Do you want
hurtful.
Me to give you some of the numbers on these guys?
No, I don't.
I'm sure that they were standouts.
No, I don't.
Now I feel like I have to go Jeff back to Jeff on this. These guys are out here trying their best to make a career out of this, and you're over here poo-pooing it.
Yes.
Oh, I just thought that would be fun to say.
No. Now you got me wanting to look at the stats on some of these guys.
No? Hey, you know, everybody's asking about Shedeur Sanders, but, you know, we're making sure the other guy gets his fair due.
In accordance with the Radio Act of 1927, equal time for Dylan Gabriel.
Got to make sure Dylan gets plenty. He initially committed to West Point. Coming out of high school, he only had offers from Army, Air Force, and Hawaii. And then eventually UCF, Georgia, and USC. But he went to UCF. And he went to UCF because a guy named Mackenzie Milton, who was in high school with him, was at UCF. So UCF, University of Central Florida, ends up with two guys out of the same high school in Hawaii. And Mackenzie Milton later got hurt and Dylan took over and the rest is history. So there you go.
Wow, I feel like a total equal time. Thank goodness for that law, Jeff. If we didn't have that law, we wouldn't know all these little...
Well, the Radio Act of 1927 is nothing to be messed with, Andy.
I never know. I don't know. I was watching a special on a couple guys that were in prison for violating the Radio Act of... What was it? 1927?
Radio Act of 1927.
I mean, they were in the cell.
Well, you don't want to mess with it.
Well, they were in the cell next to the guys that take the labels off the mattress pads, right?
No one has time nor the want for billable hours.
See? That's true. That's a good point.
I don't think there's any question. Do you guys have a feel on, you know, Gabriel was really good at UCF, led to a transfer to Oklahoma, where he was really good, and that led to another year at Oregon, where he was really good. And Shadur, 2 years at Jackson with his dad, so you understand why he went to Jackson State, because his dad was there.
And he had years with his dad in high school, too.
Just talking college here.
Yeah, okay.
Because Dylan played high school ball, too.
Okay, for his dad.
And I think his dad was actually one of the coaches. His dad played quarterback at Hawaii.
Okay.
That's another part of this. And then Shadur went to Colorado, where he had put up pretty good numbers, but was not in a great system. And they had a losing record his first year, and then it was better last year, but there were a lot of things they didn't like about him. I would just think that Dylan Gabriel comes in the door a little more prepared just based on what he did in college than Shadur. But physically, he's not going to suddenly become 6'3". But Shadur is not suddenly going to become as athletic as his dad. So I would think there's an edge going into this rookie stuff this week to Dylan Gabriel, not just based on draft position, but also based on his body of work. Yay or nay?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Gabriel, for all but what he played 6 years of college ball, five of those 6 years he threw for over 3,000 yards in every one of those. And, I mean, he was good for 25 touchdown passes a year in every one of those seasons. His numbers are impressive. There's no question about it. And you can see what the Browns like. I get
touchdown
it.
To interception ratio is phenomenal for his entire college career. Really good.
I'm looking at his best season in the year. Well, just last year, he threw for 3,857 yards and only had six picks. Threw for 30 touchdowns. I hope this transfers over into the NFL, and nothing would make me happier if Gabriel or Sanders can be the quarterback for the Browns for the next five to seven years.
That'd be sweet, wouldn't it?
If it happens, that means imagine how much better they're going to get next year with two first-round picks. They've blown that before, too. Yeah. They've made mistakes with two first-round picks, so nothing is for sure, but the opportunity is definitely there for them.
The fact that – you tell me. The fact that these guys were taken in the third and the fifth, I think has been somewhat masked here because of the Browns' drastic need for somebody at quarterback. In other words, if you draft a quarterback in the third round, you're not thinking, hey, we got our guy. You draft a guy in the fifth, you're certainly not thinking, hey, we got our guy. But maybe you get lucky. I think that whole aspect of this has been completely buried because the Browns need a quarterback, and these guys are going to get a look. They're going to get a chance, and it starts for them this week. Then they'll get out on the field with Pickett, with Flacco, and if one of them looks good, they have a chance to play. And, Andy, I would think they have a chance to play in September right away.
Jeff, I don't know. We have four quarterbacks sitting in front of us, and I have no idea who the starting quarterback's going to be. You can sit here and say Kenny Pickett all you want because I think you're right with Kenny Pickett.
Well, I'd guess Pickett.
You know, if something happens in camp that Flacco is the starting quarterback, that maybe one of those three guys got injured and they're like, nope, let's go with Flacco because we know we can ease it. I also want to see what the schedule looks like.
And then
you
could bring along a rookie.
So, I mean, there are scenarios where Joe Flacco is the starting quarterback
going into
this year without it being the end of the world or something going major league wrong. You could have just a setback with an injury or somebody who's just not ready if these two young guys aren't ready with the playbook. I mean, you have to take that into consideration.
You know, the other factor here that I think is kind of fascinating? Will they keep four? I would doubt it.
I don't know how they can.
Which means what grouping of three is the grouping that works? You know, for instance, if Pickett doesn't beat out Gabriel or Sanders, I would think you don't keep him. If Flacco comes in and looks significantly better than everybody else.
Although we say beat out, I just think they're set up for a scenario.
Yeah, well.
So I don't necessarily know if they're going to have to outplay them based on what the coaching staff already wants
or
front office.
Yeah, I wonder if Pickett could actually make this team in any other capacity other than as the starter. You know, could you keep Pickett as the backup behind Flacco? It doesn't feel right. I don't know. Could you keep
Could
you keep him as the backup behind the rookies? I would think definitely.
Yeah.
I wonder about that. We'll talk more Browns.
Is he going? He'll be your inactive quarterback. I don't see that.
Chris Fedor covers the Cavaliers for the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. He has great stuff out on the Cleveland.com website about game one. Cavs lost it to Indiana. How? And how do they fix it? Fedor next, right here on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He has a story out right now on Cleveland.com. The Cavs' one major concern following their Game 1 Eastern Conference semifinal loss to the Pacers. He's Mr. Chris Fedor. Hello, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
how are you?
Good, good.
We'll get to the loss in a second.
Wait, can we talk about his... Is Tyler Herro your brother? Did anyone ever confuse you guys for brothers? Because during the entire Miami series, I was like, man, they could totally be related. Or am I crazy?
No, that's not one that I've gotten before. I guess I'll have to explore that one a little bit further.
I'm giving it to you.
My family tree.
Yeah, you can think I'm crazy. You can have a little bit of his cash, too.
Crazy, maybe crazier.
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll send you some of his contract just for looking just like
him. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Before I'm just looking out for you.
Maybe borrow his house in Miami. I'll take that, too. Sure.
Boom. There you go.
Before we get to the reasons they lost game one, what's the one major concern following the game one loss?
Yeah, I think the Cavs felt like after last night's game, guys, that a lot of the stuff that they did wrong was correctable. I don't totally buy into that. I think there are some legitimate matchup-related issues that they have in this series against Indiana that they always had in this series against Indiana, and they become exacerbated by not having Darius Garland. But it's a battle of attrition right now for the Cavs. You know, they felt like last year, even though they were a flawed team, they felt like they didn't have an opportunity to give Boston its best shot. Because Jared Allen missed the final eight games with an injury in the playoffs, because Donovan Mitchell was dragging his knee and then his calf started bothering him. Caris LeVert missed the final game against Boston. So they came into this season with a big picture plan of, we're going to get to the playoffs in the best shape we could possibly be in, both physically and mentally. And they did all these different things throughout the course of the year so that they could be at full strength, so that they could be as healthy as possible going into the playoffs. And that plan worked up until game two of the first round against the Miami Heat, when Darius Garland closed out on a three-point shot in the corner, and he re-aggravated a toe injury that he was dealing with at the end of the season that at the time, at the end of the season, wasn't considered that big of a deal. But then he re-aggravated it, and now there's a legitimate question about, okay, even if he does play at some point during this series, maybe even Tuesday night, how effective can he be playing through this particular injury? Because you guys know this. There's a difference between being physically well enough to play and being effective while playing through an injury. And for Darius, his game is predicated on speed, quickness, burst, stop, start, change of direction, beating guys off the dribble. And a toe is going to bother him. He's got swelling in there. There's pain. And every time he makes a sharp movement, he feels it.
It hurts.
So, I mean, you're playing against a legitimate threat to you getting to the conference finals. You're playing against a team that is battle-tested, that went to the conference finals last year, that is the fastest team in the NBA. Like, all of the stress that Darius is going to put on that toe, even if he does suit up, there's a legitimate question about how effective he can be and whether or not he can be the all-star caliber player that he was during the regular season for the Cavs, and the guy that, you know, was having a great playoff run in the first two games against Miami. And then beyond that, Evan Mobley was walking with a limp in the locker room last night because he rolled his ankle. He came down awkwardly. DeAndre Hunter needed his finger popped back into place in the locker room, I was told. And Donovan Mitchell was laboring throughout the course of the second half, and we didn't have an opportunity to specifically ask Donovan about his injury, because there's only so many questions that you can ask a player following a game, and he shared the podium with Evan Mobley, so some of those questions were split up with Evan Mobley, and Donovan even, like, walked off the podium. And he kind of gave me a look of like, hey, I got away with not having to answer questions. He wasn't going to answer what was wrong with him physically, because he never does. But he kind of shot me a look of like, hey, I didn't even have to answer what was wrong with me physically. So those are things to keep an eye on here as this series progresses. Because if the Cavs aren't at full strength, or they are limited in any sort of way, there is a legitimate pathway to them losing this series.
Hmm. So what's the first thing they need to get corrected for game two?
Guys, I think they just have to be better. They have to be more disciplined on the defensive end of the floor. And I get it. It's hard. Indiana had the best offense in the playoffs last year. They have the second offense in the playoffs this year. They were a top 10 offense throughout the course of this season. And part of that, it would have been higher if Tyrese Halliburton didn't have a terrible start to the season where he was in a bad place mentally and physically. He was dealing with hamstring stuff and whatnot. So the bottom line is, this is an elite offense that requires you to be focused, you to be disciplined. The smallest mistake this Indiana team will make you pay for it in a way that's very similar to the Boston Celtics. So, like, you can guard for 20 great seconds, but the other 4 seconds, if you have one small breakdown, one miscommunication, one bad closeout, one wrong rotation, it turns into an open shot for Indiana. That's what the Cavs are dealing with in this series. So I just think they have to be better. They have to be more physical. They have to be more disciplined. They have to make a decision on what they're going to live with on the defensive end of the floor, because you can't take everything away from Indiana. They're just too good. They stress your defense too much. So they have some things that they have to decide from a schematic standpoint on the defensive end of the floor, and I think they have some things that they really have to decide from a personnel standpoint beyond the fact that they have to crank up the physicality, they have to crank up the intensity, and they have to crank up the discipline and attention to detail. But that has been lacking, by the way, for about 4 months for the Cavs on the defensive end of the floor. Since January, they are a middle-of-the-pack defense, which is not good enough for them. They call themselves a defense-first team. They have a specific standard of defense that they need to play, that they believe they're capable of playing, and they've got to find that quickly.
Chris Fedor joining us. PlainDealerCleveland.com. His coverage of the Cavaliers all season, stellar. Same thing with what he's doing in the playoffs right now. I was fearful going into this. I just thought, please don't let the guards dominate the shots, because they didn't do that in the regular season. I thought the Cavs' offense was outstanding in the regular season, the way they shared the basketball, the way they moved the basketball. Last night, two guards combined for 50 shots, everybody else 48, and Jarrett and Evan took a combined 20 shots and made 15 of them. Are we missing something here, and why did it happen last night?
I think part of the reason why it happened last night, guys, is because, you know, Donovan kind of took it upon himself with Darius missing, and Ty Jerome took it upon himself with Darius missing. They just felt like there's a lot of pressure in this series playing against Indiana because, like I said, their margin for error, the Cavs' margin for error, despite being the number one seed and despite being the better team, their margin for error is very, very thin. Indiana's really, really good. And I hope people that did respect them coming in respect them now and understand just how good they are. And for anybody in the NBA, any player in the NBA that voted Tyrese Halliburton the most overrated player in the league, to me that's like a combination of idiocy, lunacy, jealousy, and maybe just pure hatred. Because there's nothing about his game that is overrated. And that's what the Cavs are up against. And I think there's like a feeling that Donovan had and Ty had playing against that team with all that experience, with all that talent, and missing Darius Garland of, hey, like, we have to put more on ourselves. We have to take more of that burden. There's a way potentially for us to attack this Indiana defense, and that requires us, you know, putting our head down, trying to get into the paint, trying to attack some of their weaker defenders. And I feel like the Cavs kind of played Indiana's game. I think they got out of themselves, especially on the offensive end of the floor. And that was a danger coming into this series. Indiana has a tendency to just create so much chaos that you don't play like yourself. And I think the Cavs got caught up in Indiana's game, and I think they lost their identity in Game 1 last night. And, you know, I think they have to find that here today and going into Game 2. And if Donovan Mitchell is going to shoot 30 shots and Ty Jerome is going to shoot 20 shots, that's a win for the Pacers. And I think they'd be okay with that, especially because Donovan Mitchell is matched up with one of the premier on-ball defenders in the entire NBA, and Andrew Nembhard. So I know Donovan is an MVP candidate. He's a multi-time All-Star. He is an elite scorer. But, like, that's not a favorable matchup from the Cavs' standpoint. Donovan Mitchell against Andrew Nembhard. Donovan went 1 of 10 from the field against Nembhard, and Nembhard does that against guys. So the Cavs have to find a way to get back to who they are, create a little bit more variation in their offense and make it a little bit less predictable than what it was in Game 1.
Okay, Chris, I watched the game on TV yesterday. The announcing crew was just raving about the fans and the intensity inside the building. Can you relate to that? And like he was saying, that was one of the best times. Now, Spiro hasn't been in there as many times as you have. What was it like off the hook? You could kind of feel it through the TV, especially when they were coming back.
It was great, and I think that's one of the things that stood out to me about Indiana, guys. So it's the third quarter. The Cavs go on a 20-4 run where they have Indiana kind of scrambling on the defensive end of the floor, where the Cavs are getting stops and they're pushing the ball in transition, and Donovan Mitchell is getting himself to the rim and getting himself to the free throw line. And that felt like Cavs basketball, right? That was the the prototypical Cavalanche, a 20-4 run. The arena is going nuts. It's deafening in there. The playoff towels are whirling around frantically. You could see the Cavs just oozing confidence. The bench was standing up, going nuts on every single play. And that was the environment there in the third quarter when the Cavs were going on that run. And they take the lead back. And then what happens? Indiana's like, all right, cool. Like, we'll take your punch. We'll stay composed. We're not going to rattle. We're not Miami. And then they took the lead back going into the fourth quarter on a Miles Turner corner jumper. So for them to respond to that Cavs run, that told me a lot about the Pacers. Lesser teams, they crumble when the Cavs go on that kind of run. It's curtains. You snap your finger, the game's over. No team or very few teams are able to recover from that kind of Cavs flurry. Think about what they've done throughout the course of the year to lesser opponents. But Indiana took that, and Indiana then made timely buckets, and they took the lead back going into the fourth quarter. So that was a big, big moment in the game. But that points to the kind of environment that was inside Rocket Arena. It was raucous. It was really, really loud. The towels were waving. The people were wearing the shirts. And we know Cavs play out basketball. It brings out the best in fans when you get into that building. And they make it a true home court advantage. But that didn't faze Indiana. And I think there was a little feeling from the Cavs of like, are you kidding me? You're still here?
Yeah.
After that? Like, we just went on a 20-4 run and you're cool with that? And you respond to that? So that was really, really telling. That was a big moment in the game, I thought.
Looking forward to your coverage of the rest of the series, buddy. Thank you very much for your time today.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Chris Fedor, Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. And again, read his coverage. Chris is all over this thing, and he always does a great job.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.